Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Be future ready with a pension powered by Zurich's award-winning investment performance.
€1 trillion is lost to corruption in the EU. One of the few ways a citizen can combat corruption or wrongdoing is to become a whistleblower. We've had laws on whistleblowing for the last 5 years. Who blows the whistle and why? That's the question we're going to ask now of Kate Kenny, who's professor in business and society at NUI Galway. She's researched whistleblowing in organisations since 2010. She's in our Galway studio. Kate, good evening.
Good evening, Mary.
And we've had the legislation now since 2014, the Protected Disclosures Act. Give me some of the figures you have about how many people we have whistleblowing and maybe what they're blowing the whistle on.
Well, Mary, we don't have full information. What we do have is some information from the Department of Public Expenditure and Reform, and they've published on their website in 2018 a report on exactly how many protected disclosures have been made. So what we learn is that the information is really up to the end of the year 2016. There was 370 protected disclosures made to the various public bodies that are able to take disclosures.
And how do you separate, you know, the wheat from the chaff? How do you separate what may be genuine and important disclosures from perhaps cranks?
Well, all the different bodies, part of the legislation is to train and provide information to the different public bodies who receive this information. But what we know from research into these whistleblowing complaints and the kind of things people speak up about, egregious and vexatious disclosures and those kinds of malicious disclosures tend to be actually quite few, because what people tend to find, I mean, if you look into this in any length, that the success rates of genuine disclosures are tough enough to meet, regardless of the success rates of vexatious or not genuine disclosures. Would not inspire anyone to go down this route. So actually, the research shows they're not as frequent.
It's a difficult road to travel, isn't it? You've talked to hundreds of whistleblowers over the years, many of them internationally. Do they regret it afterwards?
Well, actually, the interesting thing is, I mean, some of the things that people go through, well, they're very well known anecdotally. You know, you can have really problematic effects on your career, and family relationships and interpersonal relationships can suffer, finances can suffer, all of those things. Mm. But, you know, one of the recent studies, and we've just produced the report from it on the impacts of whistleblowing, but also how people feel about these things post-disclosure and what they can do if they have been forced to leave their organisation and need to create a new career. So one of the things that people have said is that, in fact, you know, they have found that there are things that they are glad that they did. So, for example, the ability to say, well, this particular issue has changed because of what I said, that is incredibly satisfying. Like, we've plenty of examples here in Ireland of perhaps whistleblowers who've suffered, but also changes that have been made because people have been courageous enough to come forward.
The thing is, though, Kate, and that is very important for somebody and very important for society, it doesn't put bread on the table.
Well, no, that's exactly it. And I think we were fortunate to have carried out a study where we actually interviewed almost 100 whistleblowers and experts and then surveyed people on it, and tried to put a bit of money, a bit of numbers on exactly how much this costs. So say, for example, you were to go down the route of speaking out and you received retaliation in relation to that, and then you were forced to leave your job, or you were fired or dismissed or demoted. And actually, yes, financially people can really struggle. A lot of, well, there's the lost income if you're not working in your job anymore, but the legal fees can be really quite crippling. And bear in mind, this is often one person against a really well-resourced organisation who may be retaliating.
And the psychological impact.
Well, that's it. People have to spend money on mental health supports, often physical health supports. And you know what? One of the things that we actually discovered was, in many cases, people who've left their organisation because they've made a disclosure of this nature, they spend 40% spend over 1,000 hours working on their disclosure. Now, often this is them by themselves having to learn complex, and I mean some of these whistleblowing protection legislations are very complex.
So I think you're making an argument there for boosting our legislation, for improving our legislation and giving people greater backup.
Well, here's what I want to say. When Ireland implemented the PDA in 2014, you know, it was and is one of the strongest sets of legislations worldwide. So we have to be, you know, very pleased with this. It's much stronger than, for example, the equivalent PETA in the UK. It's stronger than, say, US federal whistleblowers can enjoy. But having said that, when you implement any kind of pioneer law for the first time, what happens is that the implementation of the law, there's a lot of lobbying and compromise around it. So the first version is often open for, shall we say, room for improvement. Okay. And certainly in the last 5 years, Ireland's PETA law, PDA law, has thrown up particular areas that we can definitely work on. But there's a fantastic opportunity now, because just this month the EU directive on whistleblowing has been adopted. This gives member states 2 years to implement sets of legislation in accordance with the new directive. So Ireland is in a really unique position to lead the way, actually, because we've had the experience since 2014. We know what works and what doesn't, and now there's going to be a debate on across the member states, how best can we implement this directive? And I think there's certain really interesting learnings from the Irish experience that can feed into those.
Kate Kenny, Professor in Business and Society at NUI Galway, thank you very much for your time this evening. It's time now to check on the weather with Matthew Martin at Mid Éireann.